This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, an unannounced inspection conducted by HICWA, the Health Information and Quality Authority, has found that University Hospital Limerick are not fully managing the risks of harm to its patients in the hospital amidst this overcrowding crisis, a crisis which has claimed the lives of patients. We know that now. Melanie Cleary is with me. She knows the situation very, very well. Her daughter Eve attended that hospital after a fall, and Eve did not survive that visit, or certainly she did not survive long after that visit. Melanie, you're very welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us again.
And thanks, Kieran, for having me on.
Just before we talk about the situation today and the continued failings at University Hospital Limerick and how they make you feel, you just remind some of our listeners maybe about Eve. What happened?
Yeah, Kieran, Eve had a fall on the 19th of July 2019. We brought her to UHL, where she spent 17 hours on a trolley, and she was moved to a ward for 6 hours. And Eve had said, you know, she didn't feel right, and she was sent home. And the early hours of that morning, Eve passed away. She had a clot in her leg that travelled to her heart and lungs.
And tell me a little bit about the attempts that were made to investigate what happened to Eve.
Well, the first SARS report that we had was held up due to COVID, but none of her parents, myself and Barry, weren't interviewed. They left the staff, I think it was a year before they interviewed them. And a few staff members had actually, you know, moved away during that time. So, you know, they didn't have the full story of, you know, what kind of took place when Eve was there.
And I understand as well, one of the investigations was paused because nobody had a phone number for one of the consultants, apparently.
That's right. There was an apology given to us in 2019 by the chief clinical director at the time, and he retired since. And there was a second examination done into certain matters in Eve's death. And they couldn't contact the consultant because he'd retired, which was ridiculous, yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure if they'd wanted to contact him for something, you know, positive, they'd have managed to do so. I wonder how serious the efforts made were. I know it's your contention and it's the family's contention that, you know, had a fairly simple procedure, medication been given to Eve, that she would be here today.
Yeah, very like Aoife's case. Eve could have been saved up till 8:30 the night she was discharged. And, you know, that's a very difficult thing to hear when, you know, that Eve didn't get the care she deserved, because obviously if she did, she'd still be here, you know.
And when you then see stories like Aoife Johnston's and like others that have emerged as well from University Hospital Limerick, and then you see a survey like this, that despite the experience with Eve and with Aoife and others, that they're not fully managing risks of harm to patients, how does that make you feel?
We're not being listened to. I think, like, Aoife's family came out and said after Aoife's inquest that Ennis A&E needed to be reopened, you know. And I think that's the greatest legacy they could give, to reopen those three A&Es, because there was talk as well about them looking into buying Barrington's hospital. But we have, you know, fully functioning hospitals already. They just need to be upgraded.
And I mean, how, because I'm like most people listening to this, Melanie, we're lucky that we can't understand the pain you went through. But the fact that it is still happening, you know, that despite all the kind of the platitudes and the things that I'm sure were said to you in meetings, you know, I know you had meetings with Bernard Doster that you were very happy with, as I understand from our last conversation, once you had the meeting, not maybe with what happened afterwards, but with what he had to say and what others have said. I mean, in hindsight, do you think they mean the things they say in those meetings?
I think in those meetings, they go into them with the best intentions, but no, I don't actually think they do, because we were told time and time again, lessons will be learned from Eve's death, improvements will be made. And as we know, many other people have died since. You know, there was Martin Abbott too, from Shannon as well, Aoife. You know, it's infuriating that they're not actually listening to what the families are saying and asking them to do.
And that's the simple request, is it? Listen to what we have to say.
Yeah, because we're living it, you know, where Aoife is dead 5 years in July, and every day we live with the fact that Aoife is gone. Aoife is a very, very big personality, very, very loud, happy-go-lucky. And, you know, we took her out there to be looked after, you know. And if we had left Aoife at home and not got her help, we'd be in terrible trouble. So I don't understand, you know, how this is still continuing. Hmm. How is it allowed to happen? Why aren't politicians listening to us, you know, backing the reopening of the three A&Es, because more people will die unless they're reopened.
Melanie, listen, like before, we thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us and to talk about Aoife. And I'm sure we will be speaking again, unfortunately, I have to say, because this looks like a problem that is not going to be solved anytime quickly, certainly not judging by this continued failure set out by HICWA today on foot of their unannounced inspection at University Hospital Limerick. Melanie Sheehan-Cleary, whose daughter Aoife, as she says, passed away after presenting at University Hospital Limerick in 2019. Melanie, again, thank you very much. And lots of people getting in touch with their own experiences of the hospital system, including at Limerick. Hi, Kieran. Just on the issue at Limerick Hospital, on the 28th of January, I was brought to the ED with suspected kidney stones. The pain was horrendous. The ambulance paramedics were fantastic, but even they said, look, we're really sorry now, but you're most likely going to end up in a trolley for tonight at least. I was 6 months postpartum and I was still breastfeeding my baby, so I had my husband bring a double breast pump to the ED for me, as they wouldn't let my husband bring my baby into me. The staff were under so much pressure and the guy beside me in a trolley was handcuffed. I was told by the staff, I'm really sorry, we've no room for you to use to pump, but they did get a corner area for me to use with the curtain pulled. The curtain was opened 3 times while I was pumping and none of the people looking in were looking for me. I've never felt more exposed, vulnerable or alone in that moment. Once I got to the urology ward, I was on another trolley, and at 12:20 that night, I was given the next room as the nurse said to me, you can't be expected to pump in the hall. Thank God for that nurse is all I can say. I should also say I had to dump all the breast milk as there was no facility to store the milk for the baby in the hospital. 087 1400 106. Listen, thank you very much for that text. It is, like I said to Melanie, unfortunately a story we are going to come back to time and time again, I suspect.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.